the book of Isaiah. So we're going to look at the first 10 verses of chapter 49 this evening. The Bible says, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft, in his quiver hath he hid me. And he said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, Go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them." My salvation. Let's pray. Dear Lord, use your word in our lives this evening. Thank you for these beautiful promises to your people. I pray they'll be an encouragement and help to us, Lord. And so may you be glorified in this service and speak to each one. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So we find here in this passage God again reminding His people, His precious people, that their time is not finished, that He does have amazing things planned for them. And He tells them that His mouth, verse 2, is made like a sharp sword. He is referring to the return of Jesus there. If you go to Revelation chapter 19, we'll see this. When Jesus returns, everything changes. I'm talking about His second coming, when He physically returns to the earth at the end of the tribulation period. Everything changes for Israel. All the promises of the Old Testament will be fulfilled, and Israel will be a blessed nation again, and they will be following the Lord again. Notice Revelation 19:15, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." This is talking about Jesus. And so the Lord Jehovah in the Old Testament is saying his mouth is like a sharp sword. But when Jesus returns to the earth to set up his kingdom here in Revelation 19, the Bible says, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. And so the Lord is prophesying about the return of Jesus Christ. And when he returns, he will restore his servant. Did you see how many times the Lord referred to Israel as his servant in this passage? He said there back in our passage in verse 5, he says, "And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob again to him." Israel is yet to be restored, to be what they once were, and even more. If you go to Jeremiah 27, please, verse 22, we'll see this promise again about their restoration. Who will be restored? The preserved of Israel. There will be a remnant of Israel during the tribulation who will survive the tribulation, and they will be restored to their land. They will be inserted into their kingdom that they've been promised over and over again in the Old Testament. And those who are preserved will be restored as a nation. Notice Jeremiah 27:22. The Bible says, "They shall be carried to Babylon." So Jeremiah is prophesying of the second captivity here of Israel, when basically there were hardly any Jews left in Israel at this point. "And there shall they be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place." Now, when you see promises like this, a lot of people scoff and say, "Well, it's been 2,500 years since they were carried away, captive." And up until 1948, the scoffing was pretty intense, and then it kind of eased off a little bit when they were given a piece of their land back and they began to flock back. But that's not what this is referring to, where man gives them just a little piece of what is theirs. This is referring to a complete restoration of Israel as a nation. They will be God's people, and they will be given the land that was promised to them way, 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 way back in the book of Genesis. They've had to wait a long time, but their restoration is coming, as we see here in verse 6. So, of the promises, just to highlight them this evening, the first thing we see is that God will restore the preserved of Israel. They will be restored as a nation. Now, the second thing that we see, which is interesting in verse 6, is they will also become a light to the Gentiles. Now, think about what that's saying. Notice it says, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. Now, go back to chapter 11, where we've already been, but again, another chapter about the coming kingdom here in Isaiah 11. And notice, if you would, verse 10. Talking about Israel becoming a light to the Gentiles, it says, Isaiah 11:10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. So that sheds a bit more light on this light that Israel will be to the Gentiles. It happens when there will be an ensign of the people who will be a root of Jesse. Well, that has to be Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus Christ sets up the kingdom, which, never forget, it is a Jewish kingdom. Yes, we get to be a part of it, hallelujah, but it is a Jewish kingdom. And it will be ruled by a Jewish king, Jesus Christ. During that time, Israel will be the light. Right now, they're not, are they? They are not seeking the Lord according to His word. They rejected their Messiah. But when the kingdom comes, and when the king comes, Israel will once again be that light, that which is what God has wanted for them from the start. When He established them as a nation and He said, this is your land, here's what I want. I want the world to see how different things can be when people follow God's ways. I want you to be a light. And for a very short time they were, but then they began to go back to the gods of the heathen around them, and God had to punish them and go through this whole cycle. But it's coming. They will be restored, and they will once again be a light. And then in verse 6, it also says in our passage, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Now, if you would go to Acts 13, this was actually quoted in the Acts of the Disciples as they were preaching. So go to Acts chapter 13, verse 47. And often when the disciples would preach and there were Jewish people around, they would do their best to try to reach out to the Jews, knowing that it was primarily Gentiles that was going to get saved, but they never forgot their blood, the Jews. And that was the case here. Verse 46 of Acts 13, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it is necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Who's that? The Jews. But remember who Paul was. He was the disciple to the Gentiles. So he goes on to say, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now look at verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. He goes on to describe it in the book of Romans chapter 11 about how their fall has become our salvation. And so there is this aspect in which Israel gave us salvation, because our salvation still comes from Jesus, who's a Jew. And so we must never forget, I mean, every author of this book was a Jew. There were about 40 of them. It's a Jewish book. You can't get away from it. So in a sense, they brought us salvation. But there will come a time during the kingdom when they will truly be the source, because Jesus is the source, and they will be His blood people. So they will be restored and preserved in their land. They will become a light to the Gentiles, and they will be the salvation unto the end of the earth. Imagine that. The very nation that is the most hated nation in the world, and I don't say that flippantly, it's just true, will one day be the most loved nation on earth. God's chosen people, Israel. So let's go back to our passage. They'll be restored. They'll be a light to the Gentiles. They'll be salvation at the end of the earth. Then we see, fourthly, in verse 8, actually starting in verse 7, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and His Holy One, to whom man despiseth, to whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and He shall choose thee. Now, before we go further about His blessings on Israel, did you notice how He keeps referring to Himself as the Holy One of Israel? Because the need for salvation stems from that great truth, that God is holy. And therefore, if we ever hope to be allowed into His presence, we must be holy, which is impossible because we're sinners. Hence the need for the impossible, salvation. It all goes back to the holiness of God. But he refers to Himself as the Holy One of Israel. And that is Jehovah. Verse 8, thus saith the Lord. Remember, all caps means Jehovah. In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. That word covenant in the New Testament also can be translated testament. Let's go to Matthew 26, where Jesus talks about this. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28. And so there's a sense in which Israel becomes a testament. Matthew 26, 28, Jesus, when He had that supper with His disciples, which was the first Lord's Supper, but we refer to it as the Last Supper. Here in verse 26, 28, it says, for this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So this new covenant, this new testament, was sealed by blood. When you write out a testament, a will, it's not enforced until the person dies, right? That is the case here. Jesus said, this is going to be a testament, but it can't be enforced until I die. And then He died, and He established the new covenant, the new testament. Now look at Hebrews, please, chapter 8 and verse 6. And we'll see how Jesus Christ is the fulfillment, the initial fulfillment of this great truth of Israel being given as a covenant for the people. Notice Hebrews 8:6. But now hath He obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much more also He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. So Jesus Christ now is the mediator of a better covenant, a better testament. The Old Testament has been nailed to the cross, as we know, the law. Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. And in a sense, Israel becomes that covenant during the kingdom for the rest of the world. So moving on, so we see here that verse 6, they will be restored and preserved in their land. They will become a light to the Gentiles. They will be salvation to the end of the earth. And we see here in verse 8 that they will become a covenant of the people. Verse 9, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. Now, this was partially fulfilled in the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's not just talking about people that are in prison. It's talking about people that are in prison of the devil, spiritually imprisoned. Go to Isaiah 42, and we'll see again this prophecy where Jesus Christ is the one who will rescue those who are captive. Notice it says, Isaiah 42:7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. So as we see, He's not just talking about a physical prison. He's talking about a spiritual prison. Who rescues people from the darkness of this world? Who rescues people from the blindness of the devil? Jesus Christ. Those people are prisoners of Satan. And Israel brought us the New Testament, brought us the gospel of Jesus Christ, brought us Jesus, the fulfillment of the Old Testament Messiah prophecies. And Jesus says to the prisoners, you're free. Where would we be tonight if it wasn't for that? Jesus Christ has rescued us from the devil and from sin. And then go to verse 10 of our passage. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for that he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. Anybody ever sung the hymn, Springs of Living Water? Right there's where it came from. That's talking about, again, the kingdom. Go to John chapter 10, where we get a glimpse of this. But as we've walked through Isaiah, we've seen a number of these kingdom passages, and what have we found? The earth's going to be totally different. The animals are going to be vegetarians. Children can play with snakes and what used to be wild animals. People are going to live longer. It's going to be amazing. Jesus is going to completely change the geography of the world. There's going to be all these new rivers springing up out of the ground. Everything's going to be, from a physical point of view, just amazingly wonderful. And this is Jesus Christ giving Israel what they've been promised. But for us, we've already been given a glimpse because it's already started. Notice John chapter 10, verse 3. To him that the porter openeth, this is talking about Jesus, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And then verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Well, that's us. That's talking about us. Jesus Christ is our shepherd. And what does he do? He rescues us, makes us one of his sheep, and leads us. He shows us the way. He is this great shepherd that it was prophesied of in the Old Testament. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23, Jesus Christ is that shepherd, that great shepherd. And so he already leads us as his sheep. But in the kingdom, he's going to lead Israel. And they will be the source. And they will be the great nation, again, that they once were. They will be this light to the Gentiles. They will be restored to their land. They will be the salvation of the ends of the earth. They'll be the new covenant. They are the source of Jesus Christ who rescues us from sin. And Jesus Christ will lead them as he leads us. It just makes you that much more thankful that we found the God of the Bible. And you know what we need to do? We need to pray for Israel. Because they are God's people. And we must never forget that. If we could, let's go to Romans chapter 11, where the Apostle Paul shares his heart a little bit about his people. Actually, chapter 9, first of all. Romans chapter 9. Paul understood all these prophecies that we're reading tonight here in Isaiah. Paul knew what God's plan was for Israel, but he didn't know the timing. Paul was hoping that Jesus would come back before he even died. And it was possible in God's program, anything's possible. The imminency of Jesus Christ has always been a great truth. And so he says in verse 1 of chapter 9, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ, from my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. This is Paul speaking. Paul, the great church planter among Gentile cities, never forgot the Jews. He was a Jew, but he never stopped having this broken heart for God's chosen people, knowing that they needed to be restored. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So there we see his heart again. His heart was for Israel. He says, verse 2, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And then go to chapter 11 of Romans. All three of these chapters are about the Jews. Isn't it amazing that we use chapter 10 in the Romans Road, and yet 9, 10, and 11 Romans are Jewish chapters? Chapter 11, verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not that the scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, dig down thy altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Verse 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded? According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. There it is. Through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles. Look at verse 12. If the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminish of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? He says there's coming a day. Imagine what it would be like in their fullness. If their fall results in the riches of the world, imagine what will happen in their fullness. And that's what we're reading about here in Isaiah 49. God's great salvation that comes through the Jews to us here during the church age, and yet it's just going to get better. Amen? God's going to pull us out of here. 7 years of God's chastisement upon his people, and then their beautiful restoration and kingdom of which we get to be a part of. How exciting is that? So, you know, we should praise the Lord every day for the Jews, and we should pray for them every day, just like Paul did. Broke his heart every day to think about his people. We should remember them and lift them up. And also, of course, do our best to tell as many as we can that our God is a God of salvation, and it's made available to us during this age through Jesus Christ. Aren't we blessed?